From Capital Broadcasting Company, this is WRAL Out and About. I am your host, Kathy Hanrahan. This is a podcast about bringing people together. And people are finally getting out to go to events. And the North Carolina Museum of Art is hosting Art in Bloom. It started last weekend. It's wrapping up this weekend. It is beautiful. Flowers. It's all about celebrating flowers and paintings and art and sculptures. And it's just beautiful. And if you have allergies, probably take your allergy medicine before you go there, because it's going to smell like a beautiful flower garden when you walk in. It's amazing. It requires a separate ticket, but it is definitely worth it. I had a chance to go and check out Art in Bloom, and it was a lot of fun because I got to watch the artists, the floral designers, create their pieces. It's unlike anything I've ever seen. I mean, they work so hard creating something that really is inspired by the art around it. And today I had the opportunity to speak with Diane McGill. She's an interior designer, and she's worked on some restaurants that you know, some popular restaurants. She's worked with different restaurant groups, and we get to that in this interview. But she also, it's her second year doing Art in Bloom, and she kind of explains the process of what happens and how she created what she created this year to go along with the painting. She explains what painting she had and the installation she decided to do. I love the behind the scenes information. She just has so much to share. So please take a listen to my chat with Diane McGill. So I am here with Diane McGill, and she is one of the artists who helped create stuff for Art in Bloom. Diane, I was amazed. I was there when a lot of you were putting together the projects and your installations and different things. So Diane, tell me more about your involvement with Art in Bloom.
Well, I was a docent for 15 years, and I took many people to Art in Bloom on tours, and I didn't think I could be in Art in Bloom because I'm not a floral designer. And a couple of years ago, the woman who does the Trader Joe's floral exhibit, she's actually my mural artist. And she said, you should apply. And so I did. And last time, which I guess was about 2 years ago, was my first Art in Bloom.
Wow. So why didn't you think you could do it? Like you just weren't a professional floral designer, but you still had some skills, right? I mean,
I'm an interior designer. I design a lot of restaurants, houses, shops here in town. And I also have a deep display background where I used to do the large windows for Macy's, et cetera, in Philadelphia and in Dallas. So I definitely have design background, but I just thought it was a competition only for floral designers. I just didn't know. It never dawned on me to apply.
Well, we're glad that you did. So tell me about what you created. Tell me about that first year and what you created.
The first year, first of all, we pull out of a hat. I think that's the number one thing that people ask us. They say, does the museum assign you a piece of artwork? And what we do is we literally pull an envelope out of a basket and open it up. So the first year, I had an abstract. It looked to me like a giant sunflower, and I knew that sunflowers are flowers that make people happy and that children like. So my whole floral arrangement last time was based around sunflowers and a really good story of an artist who had to keep changing because he fell off a ladder and suffered a brain injury. And then he started losing his sight. So he couldn't paint anymore. So he started sculpting instead. So I just like the story of, you know, artists just, they just have to keep creating.
That's interesting. So tell me about your process of you just, how did you put together that first year? How did you put together? I mean, you looked at it, you found your inspiration. Then where did you go from there?
Well, as a docent, I always want to be armed with facts. So it's just a lot of fact checking about the artist. And then from there, I think I tend to do better when I really look at the colors and the movement in the piece of art. And then go for the mayor. Obviously, it's really odd, but the hardest thing to do is to pick your vessel, to pick the base, the vessel of your inspiration, because flowers are pretty. and the flowers just come naturally, but the vessel is the really hard part. I think we all struggle with that.
So what type of vessel did you kind of decide on that first year?
Well, the first year I chose a clear jewelry case. One, I was really comfortable with that kind of, I had a wide pedestal, first of all. We have two sizes of pedestals, and mine was one of the large ones. So I needed to take up space rather than go tall. And this glass case, what I did was every day I shut it a little bit as his brain started shutting down.
That's amazing. Like, you've mentioned being a docent. Is that what it is?
A docent.
Explain that what it is, because people might not know what a docent is. And I'm a little fuzzy on it too. So yeah, teach us something new.
A docent at the art museum is the same word as a tour guide. We're all volunteers. I'm not sure how many there are now, but there's usually about 100. It's a very big time commitment. There's classes that you are mandatory, because there's always something to learn about art, whether it's new exhibits or interesting facts. And then you're given a tour day and you have to be available that entire day. Mine used to be Thursday. There's many mandatory tours. For example, Wake County third graders all come to the art museum and we have a third grade tour for them. We're given about, I think it's 20 or so pieces of artwork. And we can pick the 10 that we would like to go to for the third grade tour. There's fifth grade tour. Of course, high schoolers come. And then on weekends, there's public tours. I believe it's around 1:30, where you can come and a docent will take you around to whatever you want, or you can just tell them to guide you through the museum. It's so helpful to have a docent, because every single piece of artwork in there, I could talk about for 30 minutes. And they're all fascinating stories, just fascinating.
I think it's amazing. I don't think people realize that they're volunteers. I don't think people realize that, you know, realize how much work also goes into that. I didn't know there were so many opportunities. I didn't know that, you know, you guys had third graders go for a tour and fifth graders. And I just think it's interesting. It's such a big place. I feel like you need to have somebody kind of walking around with you and guiding you a little bit and giving you the pieces of information behind the art. To know more about the artists and everything. I think that's just really, it's just interesting.
I think it is a fact that the average person will only stand in front of a painting, I think it's 15 seconds, but a tour guide will tell you a story, say 2 or 3 minutes long, and then you will completely understand the piece of artwork so much better. Most of the art has lessons to teach us or stories of humanity. It's amazing. Each piece is amazing. And we have, in the Southeast, we're considered the best art museum.
Well, I mean, I thought that obviously, but I'm glad that, you know, I'm glad that people recognize it, because it's beautiful. The Out and About podcast will take a quick break. We'll be right back. We are back with more from Diane McGill, interior designer and a designer with the Art in Bloom exhibit. And you know, I was walking around there when everybody was setting up their installations for Art in Bloom, which wraps up this weekend. And it was just amazing to see the pieces of, see the art and then see all the work that was going into the installations and how they kind of, you know, they fit in with it. Like, it was amazing to see the inspiration that people were getting from, you know, the pieces they were assigned to or they pulled. I think that's interesting too. I didn't know that you guys just pulled from like a hat or whatever. I thought you got to select what you wanted or whatever, but I think it's cool that like everyone kind of is in the same boat of, oh, look, this is what I got. That's kind of cool. So what about this year? What did you work on this year?
Well, this year I was very, very excited, because when I opened my envelope, it was a painting that's on the third grade tour. It's Jacob Lawrence. The painting's called Forward, and it's the story of Harriet Tubman.
Oh, you got a good one. You got a good one there.
Now, we're allowed to swap after we open our envelopes, and a couple people asked me to swap, and I said, no, I'm going to keep mine. I really was very, very excited about it. I knew as a docent too, telling people the story of Harriet Tubman would be wonderful, because we only are taught a very small snippet of what she actually accomplished in her life.
So what were you inspired? Tell me about your inspiration and what you ended up creating.
Well, the hardest part is picking the vessel, but I found a rusty, very tall, twisted pedestal that had a copper bowl on the top. And then the artist used color blocking to depict the different characters in his paintings. So I used color blocking in my flowers as well. Then Harriet Tubman, of course, was an enslaved person who found freedom and then helped 19 times, came back to Maryland to help other people escape. And I'm Quaker, and the Underground Railroad was founded by a Quaker long before the Civil War. And Quakers used to hang quilts in their windows that had secret messages on them. One of them was flying geese. It's a series of triangles. So I can't quilt, but I can needlepoint. So I spent my quarantine time needlepointing chains and linking them together with these secret messages on them. It took me 221 hours to make this needlepoint chain. And I would just needlepoint in quarantine every night until my hands hurt. And then I would start up the next day. I chose the flowers based on the colors. We have a flower shortage right now from Holland. And on last Monday and Tuesday, we were all filled with a little anxiety because we didn't know what would come on the big trucks when they arrived. So some of our labels don't match our pedestals or flowers, but we apologize for that. It's just the shortage. Plus also it's June and that's wedding month and everybody's starting to get married again.
Wow. The needlepoint. I mean, that's a lot of work. I mean, that's very tedious work. And I can understand, I mean, it probably great for the quarantine because it gave you something to do with, you know, you were using your mind, you're using your hands. And it can, you know, it's very soothing to work on, but it's hard. I mean, after a while, it can really wear you down.
Well, and I chose 18 point needlepoint, which is the tiniest stitches because it just looks better. Needlepoint is just very relaxing to me. I work in construction and in design for restaurants, and I come home and it's just quiet and relaxing. I have a little puppy. She sits in my lap, and I've always just loved a needlepoint. It's not your grandma's needlepoint anymore. I think the hardest part about making the chains was I wanted to add some beading and I wanted to add fancy stitches on. And I just kept saying, no, these are rusty chains. Just keep going with your first idea. I always think of Calvin Klein, who says your first idea is your best idea.
Well, it's usually the one you end up going back to. I mean, most of the time, sometimes that first reaction, your initial reaction is a really good one. So what flowers did you use for the particular one that you did this year?
Would it be all right if I go back to the needlepoint for one second?
Oh my God. Yeah. I love the needlepoint. Believe me. Tell me more about the needlepoint.
Okay. So I knew the very top chain I needed to be broken. The painting next to me is Harriet Tubman dancing with a broken chain. And I couldn't figure out for a couple months, know that I've had a year and a half to think about this presentation, which is a really long time. Usually we have about 2 months. And I couldn't figure out my broken chain. And I have a little corgi puppy. And one day she was very quiet. And you know, with a puppy, that's just not a good thing. And I looked underneath my chair and there she was with one of my chains just chewing and chewing. And it was a sopping, gooey mess. I was really upset because each chain takes 12 hours. So I was ready to throw it out and I just couldn't do it. And the next morning it had curled up and I realized that that was my broken chain. It was just organically frazzled and broken. And so I thank my little mango for giving me my top broken chain.
Well, that sounded like it worked out perfect. You know, and yeah, dogs like to chew on things. So it just makes sense that that would happen. That's interesting that's, you know, you were looking for a way to do it and all of a sudden, you know, dog helped you out.
She did.
12 hours though on one chain. That is a lot of work.
They're 25 chains. So I don't know if I did the math right there, 25 times 12, but some of them took a little longer and some of them shorter, depending on the pattern that I used from the Quaker quilts. The Underground Railroad was also run by Quakers, Methodists, and freed slaves. And you know, there were houses that were one day apart. So what I explained to people is it wasn't underground and it wasn't railroad. These were all secret code names, and Harriet was the conductor.
Wow. I mean, it's such an interesting story anyway. It's fascinating, and it's part of our history, and it's amazing to find out about, but also to have it, like, you know, go to the museum and see, you know, the pieces of art and to have what you did. Tell me more about your installation.
Well, I think a lot of people are fascinated with, do we do this offsite and then bring it? On Wednesday morning, we have 5 hours. Now, some people do have refrigerated trucks and they do just put their installation in, but most of us are installing at the museum. And it's a competition, but we really help each other out. And somebody might come by and say, do you have wire? Or I need 2 red roses. And with the flower shortage, we were swapping flowers. So we're all really worried that we won't be done in 5 hours. And I've learned that we're all done in less than 4 hours. And then we walk around and look at everybody else's installations. The woman who was next to me is the one who inspired me to join Art in Bloom. She's with Trader Joe's. Her name is Tanya. And so it was so much fun because she was right next to me. Usually last time she was completely on the other side of the museum. So we're just, all of us are talking to each other. And where do you think I should put this iris? And where do you think? And then Tanya would say, well, you forgot to cut your daffodils in this certain way. Or
it's a collaborative, you know, project. It seems like everyone was helping each other. No, we're helping each other. You were talking with each other, you know, and it was nice to have, I guess, a friend nearby too, because then you could interact.
It was very nice to have a friend nearby. And then the people that do the giant, what do you call those? Not the pedestals, but there's 3 really big installations.
The larger ones. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's amazing to see them come in the elevator in pieces and assembled. And this year, everything was so beautiful and bright and colorful. And I think that's what we needed. Everybody, all the guests were in bright, colorful flowers. Little girls were in adorable dresses. People had flowers in their hair that were coming to visit. It was just, everybody had a smile on their face. Everybody had such positive things to say. It was a wonderful weekend, and I look forward to this weekend too.
Tell me about where can people find your painting, your inspiration, and then your installation?
My painting is in the American Gallery. It is pretty easy to find because when you go into the American Gallery, it's the very first one, and I'm always standing by it. So I talk, I'm a little hoarse today because I've been talking 8 to 10 hours every day to people about this story and answering any questions that they have about Art in Bloom.
That's great. So people go this weekend, they can talk with you and find out more about the museum, about Art in Bloom, about your installation, everything. That sounds great. Well, I love the fact the artists are there so you can interact. You know, it's always a good thing to be able to find out more about, you know, why you created what you created. And since you know so much about, you know, the painting and other paintings and everything at the museum, you know, you're definitely a valuable resource.
Thank you. The artist, Jacob Lawrence, has been to the museum and has explained his vision. So I feel as though what I'm saying about his piece of artwork is all true. And that's always helpful.
That helps if you can interact and find out from the artists themselves and just know things. It's definitely a good thing. Well, Diane, I am so excited to see more of your work. And how can people find out more about you? You said you also do design and everything. Do you have a website or anything or a social media you want to plug right now so people can know more about your work?
Sure. My website is 3dbydesigns.com. And I have a personal Facebook page, which anybody is happy. I'm happy to accept anybody as a friend.
Mm-hmm. So what restaurants have you worked on here? Are you comfortable talking about that? Or because I mean, we do cover restaurants all the time.
I'm the interior designer for LM Restaurants. And I guess my favorite is Taberna Agora.
It's beautiful. It's just beautiful. And we've done some great stories. We've done stories with them recently and everything. So it's great to hear that you work with them.
I've worked with them for over 20 years, helping them with their restaurants. Of course, they're the owners of the Carolina Ale House, and there's over, I guess there's 30 locations. So I've designed all them and helped them with many projects, including their personal homes. They're, you know, they're a family from the Triangle. And we try to use artists and workers and craftsmen from this area. The Taberna Agora, I think, is almost 100% craftsmen from this area.
Wow. Well, thank you so much, Diane, for joining me today. I love finding out more about the process of how Art in Bloom works, but also it's really great to find out someone who's behind the scenes of designing stuff with these restaurants too. So thank you so much. I want to thank Diane for joining me today. Art in Bloom runs through this weekend. I think it wraps up on June 13th, which is Sunday. Tickets are still available at this time, but I know they're going fast. So if you want to get tickets, go online. You can pre-purchase. You can see all of their COVID restrictions and information concerning whether you have to wear a mask and all of that stuff. So go to their website, of course, North Carolina Museum of Art. You can also check our show notes in this podcast, and we'll have a link in there so you can connect with Diane and find out more about Art in Bloom. This has been the Out and About Podcast, a production of the Capital Broadcasting Podcast Network. If you like what you heard, check us out on social media, WRL Out and About on all platforms. We've got more fun stuff like this. Have a fantastic rest of your day, guys.